Hey, welcome to the Eve edition of The Unpresentable Parts. Hosts Samantha Neptune and Jasmine Cherry kickstart the dialogue where silence ends. Every episode dives into the experiences that define us as women, celebrating our diversity, depth, and dynamism. With Samantha and Jasmine, your voice matters. Ready to be a part of the conversation? Let's get started.
Beautiful people. My name is Jasmine, and this is my co-host,
Sam Blake.
Hello.
Actually, says Sam Neptune on there. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. And together, we're the Unpresentable Parts podcast, the Eve edition, the Better Half edition. And our podcast, really, we are targeting Black and Brown women. We want to talk about our perspectives, things that we go through in and out of the church that really make us who we are, the different obstacles that we face. And so we hope that you enjoy it and we can have some laughs and that we can have a good time. So the month of March is Women's Month. And so in honor of that, we've been talking about women in the Bible and that we can relate to them, see ourselves through them. And that there are some awesome examples of faith or perseverance from the different women we've covered, right? We looked at Eve last time. And so this time we will look at Sarah. And, but before we get there, the topic that we want to discuss is called the burnout. That's how I feel every time. Burnt out, overwhelmed, like, I know it all too well. So with the burnout, we are going to discuss just the different layers of what that means to us, right? Being Christians, being women, being wives, being mothers, friends, professionals, and all the other added layers is being Black. And what do these things, how do they contribute to our burnout? Yeah. We've been feeling burnt out lately.
Yep.
It's a big thing that women, I mean, and men go through, but we're going to talk about that today. So before we get into that, our question that we love to answer, that we love to ask each other is, what is an unpresentable part about you, either today or the past week, since we last sat together?
Okay. So I think that That one's a big one for me this week, in particular this past week and this week. Since the last time we talked, I had just an interaction where I don't remember if I shared this last time, but it was a very stressful interaction. And within hours of that interaction, I broke out in hives on my face, my neck, my chest. I was itchy for a couple of days, taking, you know, Allegra hives, and it just unbearable. And listen, let's just keep it real, right? Your face. So I'm trying not to scratch my face. I'm rubbing Vaseline on there so I can, you know, like rub it so I don't scratch it. But I went to a doctor and thinking, oh, there must be something seriously wrong with me. Like, what is this? And this is the second time this has happened. No, not knowing. I didn't eat anything different, didn't touch any, you know. And so in questioning me, so she goes, you know, she goes, there are only two things that can really point to this here. She goes, it's either a virus or stress. Mm. And so she's like, since it's happened before in the same fashion, I think we could lean towards stress. Are you having a lot of stress in your life currently? And I was just, you know, there's just a level of embarrassment. You're just kind of like, girl, I'm a minister. I'm a woman. And I'm coming out here in hives because I'm internalizing stress. And, you know, all the things come to your head, like, oh, I got to take it to God and, you know, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. I'm like, and I'm internalizing and my body keeps keeping score. Girl, I got like the big dipper on the right side of my face. Never had, you know, never had teenage acne. Got a big old zit on my chin. And so this thing, literally the hives were becoming welts and then becoming
blisters.
So anyway, have not been able to, can't put any concealer on, can't put anything on my face. It's just, look, CeraVe and Vaseline. And so it's just, you know, it just something about when you can't, you want to look presentable and it just doesn't feel, I don't feel presentable. So I appreciate my beautiful friend, my kind friend, you know, all those things that means a whole lot right now. So anyway, that's where I am with unpresentable parts.
Oh my gosh. It is right. It's hard to hide when it's out there. Like, okay, noticeable. Sam's coming up in church or showing up at the grocery store looking a little different. Mm-hmm. It is. I get that. So in a similar vein, when it talks about appearance, an unpresentable part for me has been, I don't know if you remember these, I think they're still currently running them, but like the Mucinex commercials where you see that big green glob of mucus.
Yeah.
That's like cartoon eyes, right?
Yeah.
That's when I look in the mirror, sometimes that's what I feel like I see. I'm like this big glob and I'm like feeling so unattractive. I'm dealing with my personal like health and weight loss journey has been all over the place. And sometimes I'm like, how come I can't, you know, just be disciplined and stuff how I used to, like, and I've just been feeling honestly really ugly. Mm-hmm. And I hate that. I'm totally like my own worst critic. And, you know, you take yourself with you wherever you go. So if you really care, I'm like, oh my gosh, my face is getting rounder and rounder. Oh my gosh, I feel like my body's getting rounder and rounder. What's going on? Or I don't know. And yeah, I've just been feeling down about that. And I even tried to talk to my husband. Said, I am that person that likes that affirmation, but I do understand the boundary in that. Like, I'm like, he can tell me I'm beautiful all day. But I need to believe it for myself, and I need to believe in how God sees me, which can be hard, but I know that that's where I feel like my conviction needs to be and not only rely on what other people think, which is what I've done for a large part of my life. So it's like, I want to be able to look at me and feel like, you know, I look good. Even if I'm bumming it out a little bit, like, I feel like I shouldn't feel disgusted. You know, in that thing, you know, people will say, well, if you don't like what you see, kind of fix it, which I totally get. So it's not even like, I'm like, how come 2 years ago when I lost 50 pounds, how come I just can't get back into that? Or even I get that again years before. I'm like, what's going on? You know, am I emotionally eating? Just trying to get to the root of stuff. And it just really kills my vibe, Sam. I just feel low. I'm like, I don't like to dress up. That's why when we do have certain special events, even if it's a baby shower, I'm putting on some lipstick. I'm trying to make myself feel like good when I'm going. So yeah, I've been feeling like that.
Okay. Well, girl, I'm praying for you. You pray for me. We gonna get through this. But you look good. You look good.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad you took that compliment and didn't put a butt in there.
I appreciate it. I do. All right. So let's get into it. So the first thing we'll discuss the burnout. So, okay. So Sam, what does a burnout mean to you? And how do you know that you are burned out? And I like to put it T sometimes at the end of that. I like to say burnt.
Yes, girl. Black toast. yeah. I think the way it feels for me, it just feels like it's like a complete mental, physical, emotional exhaustion. I'm just so tired.
Yeah.
I'm just so tired. And it just, I was telling this to my husband. I am not a negative person. In fact, I am a cup half full, you know, what's on the other side? Let's go. Yeah. Why not? I'm not the why. I'm the why not person. And I know that I have been in that slow progression, and sometimes feels rapid progression, but slow progression of burnout, because I don't find enjoyment in the things I generally find enjoyment in. I was saying to a friend recently that I normally operate on a very high level. And I feel like over the past few years, I've gone to a level I don't know this level. I am trying to adapt, and I'm so desperately wanting to go back up to my normal opera, you know, modus operandi. But it's just that exhaustion. It just feels, it's exhausting to just be the me I used to be. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's just what it is. I'm fighting negativity constantly, and it's discouraging because it's so far from just my DNA.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that. When you are feeling exhausted, right? Mentally, physically, spiritually, you're just, you know, maybe you're on 20% in all five areas, you know, you're like, I don't know how to get, maybe even less, right? Maybe it's five of how you're feeling. So I get that. I think for me, how I know that I'm burnt out is that the self-care aspect, and even honestly, the daily grooming aspect, I feel like start dipping off. It's like, all right, Jasmine, when's the last time you showered? You know, when's the last time you brushed your teeth? Because I'm taking care of, you know, your daughter or the house or whatever responsibility, things I'm volunteering for, all these other things become so much more important, or that I give more attention to. And then me, I just start dipping off. My hair is looking crazy. I'm dressing like, you know, right, like I'm struggling out here. And yeah, it's so, I honestly started noticing that last year. I was like, wow, this is a way that my anxiety shows up when I'm feeling like I just can't handle things. So instead of taking care of these daily things that are healthy for me to do, right, and would be normal to do, my mind is just focused on other things. And that's why I know. I'm like, all right, Jasmine, I'm stressed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm getting like, I can't even take care of myself. Then I know that that's an issue and I'm starting to feel burnt out. And I'm just a bit more sensitive in my feelings too. I've been burnt out. So sometimes my reaction is I don't even care, so I'm not even going to respond. And then other times it'll be I'm just more in my feelings about it. And I'm like, why am I being so snappy? Like, back up, down. Like,
yeah.
Calm down. And so I notice those things too make me think, all right, something's got to change because I can't live like this.
Yeah. No, that's good, Jazz. I think the one thing I want to add to knowing that I'm in that, not necessarily, I'm past the stress, because, you know, it could just be stress sometimes. I definitely am. I'm past the stress stage. It is definitely burnout. I am someone who likes everything to have a place. I know where my keys are. They hang up in this spot. I know where everything is. And I just haven't cared so much. My car is a mess. I'm not tripping about the laundry that hasn't been put up. There's been a basket. There's been two baskets sitting in my living room. It's gone on for a few weeks. And I walk past it. I'm not on my boys to get it. I don't care. I'm going to take care of the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure if someone comes to my house, there's not too much dirt in the corner.
Yeah,
but I just don't have it in me to do the extra cleaning, extra everything. And I hate saying that. I do, but it's just kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah. That is very true too. I have some laundry that I tell you what, it's a part of the house decor now. I'm like, all right, I need to get this up. But yeah, I just don't have the energy.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought this is first little problems because we got clothes sitting around and we still got clothes to wear. So
come on, fam.
A whole other lesson, girl. A whole other lesson.
You write about that because people know me. I do like to keep a clean and orderly living space. Mm-hmm. I feel like I know the outside world can be so crazy for my house. I feel like I need an order so I can think. So, you know, as much as you can, right? Especially on your maybe a bit more lenient when you have kids in there. So it's, you know, but I'm on it. So when things do start to get out of whack, you know, So what are scriptures or passages that come to your mind about the burnout? And to give certain things like biblical titles, what are some things that, like, for example, I think of being burnt out, maybe the Mary and Martha situation, the passage about that, or different passages maybe that talk about anxiety. Is there anything, not necessarily what to do because of it, but that maybe discuss it? Like, you could see examples of, all right.
Girl, yes, I got you. This is the one that I can feel like is I'm so grateful that God put in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then just show the highs right here. Mm-hmm. But that I can relate. Yeah. I can sit in that. Mm-hmm. And I can go, it's Elijah. It's Elijah.
Okay. Yes.
In 1 Kings, right? For people listening, if you want to go back and read it, it's 1 Kings 18:4 to 19:18. Like, just like start there and there. But here you've got Elijah. He's had this major victory. It's amazing. And I can relate to that. Before the pandemic, church was going great. Things were moving. Oh my goodness. Just people loved me. Yay. Right? I was just this amazing person. And just victory after victory and success and all these different things are brewing, and it's wonderful on the surface, right? You don't realize what's going on underneath. Pandemic's coming. People got issues with you. They really don't like you like you think they do. all that stuff. And so, you have Elijah here, and he's had all these victories. He's had the altar victory where he pours water around the altar and all the wood, wets it up, and then God burns it. It's like, whoa, God is with him, right? And then he prays for rain, and then it rains. I mean, come on, dude. Mm-hmm. You are killing it. Look how courageous you are. Look how spiritual you are, that God will listen to you.
Mm.
And then he finds out he got a contract on his life. Jezebel put a contract on his life.
Ooh.
Right? She's like,
I've never heard it like that.
That's what she That's did. So she John Wicked him. You know, like, everybody's going to be after you, dude. There's a contract.
Mm-hmm. And
he is terrified, right? When I go, I have judged that. Like, seriously, you did all this. God did all this through you, and you're going to be running from Jezebel? Like, God can't strike her down? And I'm like, no, but I am. This is who I am right now. Mm-hmm. I completely relate to Elijah. He was unable to control his emotions. He was unable to control his emotions. He was depressed. Like, dude was depressed. He was like,
yeah,
yo, I did all this for God? For real? I just did all this and he gonna let this woman come from my neck?
Right.
Like, he gonna let me hang out to drive and she can say that and be okay with that? Like, God, am I not your prophet? And then he isolates. I totally get that. I feel all those things. God, I did all this. I've been serving for you. I've been giving to people, putting my own needs behind to do for you. And you gonna let them come at me like this? You gonna let them come at my neck, my family, my livelihood, everything? I feel that. I get that. And I'm so grateful for that example. And I feel it so deeply. I, like, my stomach hurts talking about it. Because I think that's I feel that man. And then he's scared. You know, he's scared. And eventually he's like, yo, I'd rather just die. Can I just die under this tree? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I just, you know, so that everything can just go away. And as much as I hate to admit it, I felt that. Maybe if I'm not here, things are better off, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to not be here, but I thought it, mm-hmm. you know, I felt it in those moments. And it's kind of like, you're like, who is this man? Is he the same man? Which is what I feel about who I'm going to marry. Who are you, girl? Like, where's mm-hmm. this negativity mm-hmm. from? You know, how I was telling you a story before we taped about my friend naming my pimples and telling me, oh, you gonna let this, let him do this to your face too. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the isolation and the, all this stuff, what it has led to for me internalizing stress in my body and realizing, okay, what was the deal with Elijah? He was afraid. Mm-hmm. No, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that God showed me that he's, you know, and then he also felt like everybody's against me, which so wasn't the truth. Like his victim mentality, which again, I kind of have been a victim. Right. Everybody's against me. Nobody likes me, which is so untrue because later on when you read, it says that there were 7,000 people, Israelites, that were reserved serving God, right? There were other 7,000. So he's feeling like everybody's against me, but it's a self-pity, all of that. And so in the burnout, I look at Elijah and I go, if Elijah, God's man, who God took away in a chariot of fire, could go through this, and God allowed me to experience this through the word, he put it there so I can have an example and also see him come out of that, then, you know, okay.
Yeah.
I can get through this. God is with me.
Right.
I hope that was not too much.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
No, that's great. There are multiple, you know, just thinking about it. I think about, you know, Moses and how just, look, I'm trying to help these people out and get point A to point B. All right. People out here acting a fool, trying to just, you know, what's right.
Like, you know, and just
thinking of probably his burnout, right? And things that, and how, you know, the burnout can make you do some stupid stuff sometimes.
Strike that rock.
Right. And you're just so overwhelmed. And then it's like, all right, how do I then try to give people a role, right? I can't have this all on me. You deal with these matters. You deal with this. And just, I can't even imagine, right? Just so long ago and being that shepherd really for God's people. And that's a lot of like pressure, and it's a lot of the first time things are happening. It's a lot. And so I'll be stressed out too, or like, hey, I can't speak, Aaron, please go up here. I don't know. Like, it's just a lot. So that's what comes to mind too when I think of like get burned out. And then you end up missing out on your blessing. Right,
girl. Okay,
if you can't turn it around, sometimes, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think of even when I think of the women when we're thinking New Testament and taking care of Jesus and the disciples, and although it doesn't go into detail about their lives, but I can only envision, right, of how much you have to do to prepare the meals, to make sure that they have all the things that they need so they can go out on their mission, you know? And like, amen, like what a blessing. And I think when we can read some of those passages, you know, some of those sentences for the scripture, you're thinking, wow, that's amazing how they devote their lives to do this. And I'm like, good Lord, would I want to do that? You know?
Yeah.
Living your life on the edge too.
Girl, right? I so appreciate you bringing that up, Jazz, because we do hear about the guys in the New Testament. We hear about them all the time. You know,
right?
Peter was so stressed out, he lied and went ahead and we're like, I don't know this man. He cussing. He like, look, I don't know who this is. I ain't trying to be all up in, you know, you got Judas offing himself, you know, because of his own stress and his response to that and his own self-pity and isolation. But you're right. The women were there asking for the body. You know, the women were there preparing the body. You know, they were there doing all the meals when, and funding.
That's true.
Funding the work. And so I think you're right. It's like, what were they feeling? Because Blair didn't have a voice.
I feel like they can only imagine what they could go through.
No, good stuff. I appreciate that. I do have some scriptures that do help me.
Okay, yes, yes.
Yeah, that helped me in that time. And the thing, for anyone listening, I think what I've had to do, I started doing this thing called breath prayer. And I had the book with me. I left it at home, so I don't want to misquote it. I'll have to maybe put it on this on the website. But basically, you read a scripture and you breathe in part of the scripture and then hold it 4 seconds and breathe out the rest of the scripture. And some of the scriptures that come to mind for me, kind of like, and I'll do it right here. It's Isaiah 40:29. I breathe in. He gives strength to the weary. Hold it and breathe out. That increases the power of the weak. And it's sometimes I do it in my head so that I don't waste any breath speaking. But it's Isaiah 49. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. John 16:33. In the world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jeremiah 31:25. I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. This is one of my favorites. This is probably the first psalm I ever memorized as a kid, because my mom had us memorize our psalms. So Psalm 121:1-2, it says, I was about to say the King James Version, because that's how I learned it. let me read it in a regular in the NIV. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Yes. And finally, another one is Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So put them in index cards. I got them in my car, girl. It's my very breath. Those are the things. Those are some of the scriptures that have sustained me during that time.
Wow. I'm over here trying to find. I'm gonna paraphrase it. I think I just found it. So here's two scriptures that I think just help me to, I don't know, maybe acknowledge or see what I am doing. For the burnout, like, all right. So I think with Psalm 127, I love this. It says, unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain, right? Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Right. So I'm like, all right, Jasmine, no, I'm still so burnt out. I love how Paul talked about multiple times too, but I'm laboring with Christ's strength. I'm laboring with, you know, I'm like, man, because of God's grace, because all these things that help empower him. And I am like, Miss Independent, I will will it together. And anytime I do that, and I do that for so long, I do get burnt out and I'm trying to do everything. And so that kind of helps me. Like, all right, Jasmine, what am I doing? Pause, let God build the house, you know? And then I think of John 15 about when Jesus says, remain in the vine, right? You have to remain in me. This is how you will produce fruit. So I think about that. All right, I need to be connected to the source. I need to be connected to God. And another one just popped in my head. I'm forgetting it. Dogmatic. But
no, that's good. Because Jazz, when you, one of the things you said is I have to muster up the strength.
Yeah,
I've got to do it. That's what I feel. And I don't want us to gloss over that, because that comes from a place because of the stories we've been told and the stories we tell ourselves. And as Black women, society says no one's coming for you. No one cares for you.
Right.
You know, when you think of missing persons, our faces are not plastered on CNN or Fox News or wherever. It's not us they're looking for. And I think it's important to, and we've been told this, for no one's coming for you.
Yeah.
You got to take care of yourself. And I think that's important, because I think coming into our Christian faith, it is stories we've been told, and these are ingrained in us. And we constantly, there's an extra layer of having to go to Christ.
Yeah.
So it's not just, oh, I got to rely on Christ. No, it's who, the dying to self. It's so much deeper, because the message we get from society continually reminds us that no one is coming for us.
Yeah.
That we don't matter. So there's an extra layer to get through that makes the burnout even harder.
Right.
So I didn't want to lose that. I wanted to hit on that as you were, I know we'll expand on it later as you were.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that, because you are right. And it's like, you have to do it yourself or whatever. Like, this is just life. And no one's crying for you. You go, you know, you have to do these things. But those scriptures, and thank you for the one that you shared too, for me to go back and look on and make sure. I love Psalm 121. Okay. I love it. I need, again, going back to the source, going back to Christ. But I will it myself as much as I can. And it gets me into trouble. It does. So the next thing that we want to talk about is, let's talk about Sarah, right?
Girl.
That's in her shoe, right?
Yeah.
One thing sometimes that I can honestly wish the Bible would have in there is like, okay, what's the facts that's going through everybody's mind? You know, sometimes you might just read the action. And sometimes, right, it will share that, but especially like we talked about sort of women, what were these women thinking? This is so we can even relate even more. So I kind of feel like, I mean, they're human, we're human. So I feel pretty confident, even if we make an assumption.
Yeah.
I do think, I'm like, all right, there, I'm sure she's had to have these feelings going through. So Sam, would you mind to kind of take it away about maybe Sarah and things that she faced and why you think she was burnt out or could have been burnt out by her life situation?
Yeah, honestly, I actually took some notes to talk about her, because I think there's just so much. I can go off in a tangent. And I just think, here's this woman. Okay. I do want to say something. Give credit where credit is due. You ever heard the song Father Abraham?
Yes.
There is a whole stinking song.
Yeah.
Father Abraham had many sons, and a great, wonderful.
Right.
But was Sarah not part of creating and carrying son?
How he get them son?
How he got them sons? It started with Isaac. It started, you know, God gave this dream and this vision and this promise, and it was to Abraham, but it was also to Sarah.
Yeah.
And so I just want to give credit where credit is due, because we vilify this woman much like we have done Eve. We focus on her, you know, her disparities and her insecurities, right? I love what you said. And yeah, this is conjecture on our part, but I think as women, we can kind of, you know, you feel many of the same things emotionally. We're the same people.
Right.
The emotions and the challenges we go through are quite similar, because we are in that space. And so I just think this woman moved to an unknown land. Abraham was like, we going. And what choice does she have, right? You know, she's right. going. She was voluntold.
Mm-hmm.
She's voluntold that we're going. And then she's barren. In this whole thing, and it's in a from the very beginning, God said, be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
And then even in the curse, he said, he didn't say you're not going to be able to be fruitful and multiply. He just said, oh, that's going to hurt.
Because
what you know, that must go hurt now. You know, right. that's part of your consequence. You know, it's going to hurt. So she can have experienced the hurt.
Wow. Yeah.
It's she probably double cursed.
Right.
So here's this woman, and she is just put in these countless situations. At a certain point, her husband sells her. And we'll talk about it, but he sells her to a Pharaoh to protect himself. We give Abraham all these passes, and we focus on, we take these glaring microscope over Sarah. And so I do want to say that. So leading to this woman's burnout, I think one of the first things is the infertility and the social pressure. And this is a big one because one, all these years, she's unable to conceive a child.
Yeah.
And as a woman in that culture, that is the very thing she needs to have sons
mm-hmm.
to protect her.
Yeah.
That's part of her value. That's also part of her protection, which is why it was so hard when we read about Ruth and Naomi, when Naomi lost all her sons and her husband. Mm. I mean, you're in a very vulnerable state. Yeah, you are in the position of becoming a beggar, a prostitute, along those lines to protect you, to provide. So here's this woman, she's infertile. She essentially, it's a failure in her culture. So the pressure and the stress of that, there's a stigma associated with it. Like, you must be cursed. Yeah. What is this curse? What have you done? You know?
Right.
And then so that personal anguish every time, every month, there's a reminder that I cannot do the one thing that I am only, that's what I am good for.
Wow.
That's what gives me value. And I just cannot imagine the incredible amount of stress
mm-hmm.
and sadness.
Right.
For like 90 years. Let's just say her childbearing years, 13. So let's take away 10 of those years. Okay, let's say 10. Let's take away 10, 11, 12 of those years. But for the majority of her life, that stress, watching women around her, as someone who at one point was considered to be infertile. And I watched so many of my friends just go, I remember a friend of mine saying, oh, we should try together. And you know, I'm 20, what I was, I think 27 or 28 years old. I was like, okay, let's do that. Only for my friend to be pregnant within months, takes me out to lunch to tell me she's pregnant because she knows I'm not. And I am sitting there with her. No, in a very kind way. She was trying to be sensitive to tell me that she is. And I remember sitting there thinking, and I didn't know the language at that time, but holding both spaces, super happy for my friend.
Right.
But inside, dying. Because I want this so bad. And I cannot imagine how Sarah probably felt in her.
Sure.
When the women went into the red tent.
Mm.
And some women didn't have to go in there because they were pregnant. And every month she's in that tent.
Wow. Yeah.
So.
And I just, their servant, right?
Okay.
She's able to have children.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Just add that layer.
Yep, because you know she follows Abraham wherever he wants her to go. So she has her. You talk about the things that she's going through. It leads her there. And please cut me off and pull in. I'm just going to pull out all the things there, and we can go for it. Yeah. So she has the infertility and social pressure. Then she has the journey of faith, right? Where she follows Abraham, unknown land. You know, she leaves everything that's familiar behind. So yeah. If her mama and her daddy are still there, she's leaving them. She's leaving her friends, the ones maybe she felt like she could talk to about this thing, this very, you know, painful thing that she's going through. Her security, everything, she's leaving it. And she's going to be in this, you know, we just moving from place to place. Abraham doing his thing. And then she has to deal with the whole Hagar and Ishmael thing, right? So we're talking about her, we'll talk it through, but she, this is one of the things that she had to go through. She had to give her maidservant, what you've been talking about, to be a secondary wife, to have the child that she wants to have, but she has to have somebody else conceive that child for her. Now, she didn't have to. Like, we're not going to talk about all that. God had made a promise. It was blessing in God. But when you're all in your feelings, you're like, God ain't going to do jack. He'll leave me out here to dry. I'm going to have to take it with my own hand. That's where you go. Let's just be honest. Right. And we beat up on this woman for that. But how often do we do that ourselves?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking how just, even for her, it wasn't just like, it's a, we tried for 1 month and it didn't work. We tried for 2 months. But when I feel like for us women, when we try to, again, hang in there, but after, if it's going on years, right? And all those, it really does wear us down. And you start acting out. You start acting a little funky and making decisions that you might regret because of how you're feeling. So, yeah, that's what I was just thinking. Like, it wasn't like, oh, we tried this for a few weeks, but years of her going through this. So it makes me feel for her, like, and I would probably react the same. Like, God, okay, this is your promise. What happened? We supposed to be, you know, we're all these kids, you know.
Yes. They're supposed to number the skies. I think of a lot of single women in the faith who, you know, go through their, sometimes go through and miss out on their childbearing years. Because they want to do it God's way. And they look around and they see people compromising all the time. And I see some women who compromise. They, I mean, you go, you don't just choose a man who loves God. You choose a man that don't even believe in God. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, now, I used to judge that. And I'm not saying it's correct or it's right. But being able to put yourself in those shoes to go, look. I don't agree with what you've done. I don't agree with why you're doing it. But that you got to contend with God with that. But I'm not going to judge it either. I'm going to hold that space and be here for you. Which is what I don't think we afford Sarah.
And yes, that's true.
We don't sit in it with her. We tend to sit in it with Hagar. But we don't sit in it with Sarah and realize this woman was burnt out and stressed out and felt like the promise wasn't real for her. You know, and God's promises, it's like, wait a minute, he's going to be the father of many nations, but nothing's happening here. You know, we talk about, oh, she laughed. Well, don't you laugh sometimes in disbelief? Like, you know, that's how I felt when I got pregnant. I will never forget it. One, I was crazy that week. Didn't know I was pregnant. I was losing my mind. My husband was like, he was like, what is wrong with this woman? My cousin was like, Sam, I think you should go take a pregnancy test. I was like, girl, please, no. You know, I was just, I'm like, the doctor already told me I'm infertile. And I did. I finally late that evening, went to get a pregnancy test, came back. And I was in absolute disbelief when it came back. I got the digital one. So I didn't even get the one with two lines. I got the digital one that said pregnant, you know. And I was in complete disbelief. I did laugh. I went, you know, like, I remember that. Like, wait, what? Wait, what? That literally was my reaction. And I think, I get it, Sarai. I get it. You're like, okay. Great if it happens, but okay. All right. Let's see this. We condemn this woman and not realize, no. She was just tired.
We think, oh, what's that? She doesn't have faith, right? Faithless. How could she do that? And look at her with contempt. And I'm like, how would this feel? Again, people live longer back then, but just thinking, how would you feel? You're 90 years old. And, you know, you get the news. You wouldn't laugh, too? I'd be like, what in the world? Like, this is possible? This is actually happening? All the years of you wondering, all the stuff you didn't put Agar through, everything. You just, like, this is, must be one big joke. Like, where is the cameras? Okay, you got me. You know?
Yeah. I even think the joy of Isaac, the birth of Isaac, how exhausting that might have been, too.
Yeah.
You might overlook that to think all those years of burnout, then you actually have the child.
Yeah.
But you still got to deal with the drama of the decision you made from before, because now you got the other child.
That's very true.
Got that drama. So you're happy, but you're exhausted and you're stuck in a mess you made for yourself. And so I just think, again, so much sympathy needs to be had for this woman who, yes, she made some bad choices, but her society also put a lot of pressure on her, like it does us, you know, like it does us. Right. I just, she had so much stress, she had so much pressure. And then I just think, at times, they didn't feel protected by her own husband. Because he looked out for himself in one of the hardest situations when they went to Egypt. He was like, yo, tell him you're my sister so that they don't kill me.
Girl, my hair would have been falling out. Like, I don't know how women did this stuff.
Okay. Like,
this is too much. And I was reading too of how I think she, Sarah had passed. She had died at the age of 127. So I'm thinking if she's trying to have the kids at 90, like she wasn't even able to see her kid as they got older, right? Like her kids weren't even that old. And so I'm thinking, oh man, goodness gracious, like she's 5.5 years and the kids aren't even 50 yet or whatever, right? Like,
yeah,
see that part too. So that did make me say, man, but you know, it's life.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. With Sarah, there's so much to say. And so much, I hope what we're saying here will spark just interest in you listening to go back and read about her and put some personality to her. Put your, how would you in this situation empathize with her? Versus judging her, to say, as we talked about Eve last time, not judging, but put yourself in that situation, because I think we need to acknowledge the emotional and spiritual trials that this woman faced, and we've got to respect her journey, which is what I want as a woman of color. Acknowledge what I go through. Acknowledge my emotional pain. Acknowledge my spiritual trials and my emotional trials in this society. Acknowledge it. You may not understand it, but acknowledge it. Respect my journey.
Right.
You don't have to agree with my journey, but respect my journey. Respect where I have my doubts because of the things that the people that have gone ahead of me and the trials they faced. You know, respect that. And stick to, like, stay curious with me. Don't judge me. Stay curious. Seek to understand. That's what we want to do as Sarah. But that's what, as a woman of color in my faith, I want you to seek to understand, not come in as if you already know what my thing is. Why I feel I'm not. I think, like you said, Jasmine, we're not a monolith, right? Blackness is not a monolith.
Right. Yeah. We all have those different experiences.
Yes.
That should be validated, even if you cannot understand, you know, my truth is my truth and this is real, you know? What do you think, I know I've kind of been hinting at it a bit, how sometimes we make these decisions when we are burnt out, stressed out, we have all this anxiety, whatever. I mean, have you ever done anything where you thought, okay, I'm that maybe either out of regret or maybe that wasn't wise. We just, sometimes it can be foolish things or things that causes us to get out of our character a bit, you know, like with Sarah talking to Hagar, go ahead, you know, have this baby for us. Or like, I don't know, have you ever made kind of a decision out of your just burnout And it could be something small, maybe not something as large as clearly Sarah, but, you know. Yeah.
No, I think what, where I really relate to Elijah in my burnout, I am an emotional runner.
Okay.
If I can run physically, I would run physically. Mm-hmm. Believe me. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm for real, for real. If I can physically leave, I'm leaving. But my faith keeps me, in my faith and my commitment to God will keep me here. But half the time, I'm not here. I isolate. Mm-hmm. And so when you say, is there something I've done? Yeah, I haven't addressed things that need to be addressed and have hidden.
Yeah.
And just want it to get better. And it only gets worse. So I think in isolation, I haven't said the things I've needed to say, or I don't say the things I need to say. I don't address the things in front of me. And for that, I've paid really heavy prices, emotionally, health-wise, spiritually, where I've just felt so distant from God. So I could say in my most recent life, it's the isolation and not saying what needs to be said is, I think that's my Achilles heel.
Gotcha.
In my burnout. It's not saying the things that need to be said. And I'm learning how to, you said earlier, my feelings get hurt quicker, or that I feel I snappy. I am now allowing myself to snap.
I see.
And I am allowing myself to say that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Where, because of what I've been taught, nobody cares what you think. Ain't nobody crying for little Black girls.
Mm-hmm.
So you shut it off. Right. I'm learning to connect those messages and put it at the foot of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Because the message that nobody cares for little Black girls is a lie.
Right.
Jesus cares for little Black girls.
Right.
It's for all of us. So I'm learning to put that at the foot of the cross and say, okay, here are my tears because I am hurt. And so I think, I don't know if that answered your question, Jasmine, but it was, here's how, what I have done, what I struggle with doing, and how I wrestle back to that cross is lifting my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. Mm-hmm. Knowing that he wants to, when I'm weary, wants to give me water and help me in my faintness. So it is hard though. I'm not going to sit here and say this is an easy thing to do,
sure.
But it's hard overcoming the stories I tell myself or I repeat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. Something that I've noticed I've done is that I will shut down too. And the funky Jasmine you used to see, I'm tired. I'm too tired to smile at you. Okay. I'm not about to act like I'm interested because I'm not. If I don't want to do this, I'm not going. Like, I will shut it all down because y'all haven't been listening. Y'all haven't been picking up on my clues or what I've been directly telling y'all. I'm gone. Like, don't ask me to do nothing. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And so my husband will probably get more of that energy at home. Like, nah, I'm not doing it. I'm tired. I've been telling y'all. I'm tired. And now, it's like now the angry Black woman wants to come out.
Girl.
Woo! Like, oh, y'all been trying me. Now, you know, it's going to be luck if you butt. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm tired. And so that's what I have to, like, all right, make sure you know your triggers, you know your cues, you set up your boundaries so it doesn't get there. But I've had such a hard time doing that in the past, where it's not till you get to that burning, your boiling point, you know, and the water starting to topple over. You're like, okay, all right. You know, now you're out to get the Jasmine that, you know, not playing no games with you. Mm-hmm. But so I'm at the learn. Yeah, how to have that agency for myself, how to say no, how to do your boundaries. Like, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And even the angry Black woman. But here's the thing, because we have grown up in the myth of the strong Black woman.
Right.
And that is a myth.
Ooh, pause for me real quick, Sam. So sorry, Tim, my laptop's about to die.
Yeah, that myth, whew, it's so dangerous. Because when we talked about Eve, we talked about just the overarching thing about her, right? She messed it up for everybody. And that's how, yeah. That's a lens that she's viewed through. We talk about Sarah, and the thing that we see is she was barren. And she had, you know, she had an attitude with Hagar. And we see that part of it. And she laughed at the problem. So we look at her in this one lens. And, yeah. And I think that's a myth because though, yes, there's some truth to that,
right?
There's some truth to Eve messing up. There's some truth to Sarah and the decision she made and the condition that she faced for many years of her life with the infertility. And is there a truth to Black women being strong? Yes, there's this truth to that because through generations we've had to be because our men were being broken.
Yep.
They were being broken through slavery. And there was a strength that needed to be had. We watched our ancestors had to provide and be because their husbands were being sold off or they couldn't even marry when I say husbands. So I think there is something about, yes, Black women have had to be strong and they have they have been carrying their families and the world on their backs. To this day, right? Yep. Let's just keep it real. To this day. So,
Very true.
But we don't have to give in to the myth of the Black woman, the strong Black woman.
Yeah.
We look at our sisters in the Bible and we see how they were, one, they were marginalized women.
Yeah.
They're marginalized and they're women. We get to look at them and look at their journey and see that they were still able to have faith. They were still able to believe in this God.
Right.
We can do that. Yeah. We don't have to be faithless because we've been marginalized. We don't have to turn on God. It is He that gives us the strength and the ability to not have to live in the myth of the strong Black woman. And so I think you said people are, when you mentioned earlier, I get to the point where I'm like, enough. Now they're going to get the angry Black woman. But it never has to get to that. It doesn't. If we take ourselves off the hook and not feel like we have to be the strong Black woman, no, I can be fragile. No, please. I want to be taken care of. No, please. Yeah. Go ahead and change that tire. No, please. Go ahead and pay for that. No, please. Go ahead and do this. I don't have to give in. I don't have to live under this anymore. And I refuse to, actually. That is where I'm calling our sisters everywhere. Stop thinking and believing the myth of the strong Black woman. Stop believing the myth that has been said about our women in the Bible. See their strength and see their value because God values women.
Yeah.
He values women. He says we are important and He values little Black girls. Yeah. And your inner child, that little Black girl inside of you, that inner child, that little brown girl inside of you, that inner child is valued by God. And so my call for you today is to stop, take the time to talk to your inner child and tell her you are for her. And you will go to the cross for her. And you care about her tears. And Jesus cares about her tears. And just like He was there for Eve. And He was there for Sarah. It's particularly for Sarah in a culture that didn't value women. That there even her husband didn't value her. And he caved to the culture to look out for himself. And he did. Abraham did look out for himself.
Right.
That God will always look out for us, all women, but particularly from my lens, the little Black girl.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, I appreciate that you said that, Sam. I feel like that's speaking to myself. I feel so I feel like as we grow up and how we want to teach our kids, right? All those things we want to pour into them because of the stuff we've had to go through. But I love the duality, right? I feel like men are able to have that duality in and out the Bible and still be seen as fine. But women can only be like one shade, one perspective, one whatever. It's like, no, we are all the things, and it doesn't make us weak. I mean, we're just human, right? We are strong. We have our times where we are weak. We have our preferences. We have whatever. That just makes us who we are. But we can't have that weight of the world. And I was even thinking generally and how sometimes just all the things that goes on in the world, all the news, all those things add that layer of the burnout for being people of color, for being Black American. You know, you can feel like you also have this weight on you and that you have to accept the world for just how crooked it is, you know? And it's like, wow, we're raising our children in a world that's always going to kind of see them as second. Like, I'm like, God, when is this ever going to, I mean, maybe not even second, fifth, who knows? But like, sometimes I'm like, God, will this ever change? Or is it just going to be like this until kingdom come? Like, I'm like, this, sometimes even thinking of, you know, little Avery, she's only four, but I'm thinking, this means probably not even going to change in her lifetime. And this is just like sad. You think of racism, systemic racism, you think of all these things that just impact our daily lives and impact us as a community. You do get burnt out. You don't want to see another news segment about police brutality, right? You don't want to continue to talk about what it means to have a talk with your kids if you get pulled over, or just anything, how you conduct yourself, right? You have to have laws that talk about for jobs you can wear our hair at a natural state. Like, what are we living in? You know, it's just so weird that we can't walk out the door and be us who we naturally are without this judgment. And how, although within the church, we want to say those things can't penetrate our holy walls. They do. And they can. Our church specifically has seen the past few years that this is what happens when these things don't go acknowledged. You're starting to see the division. You're starting to see things break apart because we have to address these things. So I do feel like that's just that added layer that sits on our back, which makes the burnout even more. Just like we're done, you know. I don't know if you have anything you want to say on that piece kind of before we close it out, Sam.
No, I think, you know, you said it really well, Jazz. It's that this space that we're creating here is we hope they will open conversations within specifically our tribe, our family of churches, where people can say, yeah, I felt that. This is real for me. And I want to talk about it and not feel like I am ostracized for it, but that there's a place for me here to be able to say, I love my tribe. I don't always feel accepted or seen by my tribe. And I feel undue pressures that I face in corporate America, I face on my job. And I just want to come here and be able to have a real honest conversation where I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. I just want someone to seek to understand without judgment and acknowledge, not fix it, acknowledge that it's there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yes. That's what makes us go crazy, right? When we think.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. No, you know, do hear us out. So, amen. So, thanks for joining us for this episode of The Burnout. And so, if you have any comments, anything you want to share, any scriptures, anything that just talk about this topic, right? We really want to build our community. We want to have support for other people that are out there who are dealing with the burnout as well and all these different aspects of our lives. So please visit www.unpresentablepartpod.com. We appreciate you listening. Have a great day. Try not to be burnt out today, lady. Okay?
Yes.
Set up some boundaries.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, love you guys. Have a good one. Till next time.
Till next time. Look forward to hearing. Bye.